Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh, boy, wow, wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We are closing in on what's going to be a remarkable final series, but we've got a few more weeks to go, 3 weeks to go, and I'm joined today by two learned gentlemen, Chris Kavanagh and Will Hogan. How are you going, guys?
G'day, Macca. Good.
Going Macca, well. Thanks for having us again. We're ins again. Yeah.
Been good last year. Permanent ins. Like, that's the thing. People go overseas. Mm. They take breaks. I'm sorry, they don't get replaced, particularly when you're the two teams that you both follow. We don't like to give too much away here, but both had good weekends last weekend.
They did. And I was just thinking, as you mentioned, people going overseas. I think Scott Gunn, he better hope that Rowan Browning wins the gold medal.
Yes.
Because he certainly won't be getting back on this podcast.
No, he was getting more coverage, I reckon, with the tackle than he's getting over there. But the athletics are starting now. So there's a few wobbles on Browning. I'm just sort of hoping that he can get some work up there, Scotty.
Yeah, we'll look forward to his copy, Cav.
Yeah, Cav, I want to ask you about Richmond.
Yes.
Wow, what a game. Extraordinary game. I think everyone was writing the obituaries midway through that second quarter and even a fraction later. But can they make the 8?
Well, they can, Macca. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've got 3 very winnable games against Port Adelaide, Hawthorn and Essendon to finish. If they win all 3, I mean, they're in. So,
does it look like they need all 3, Cav?
They probably do need all 3. The only alternative is Carlton loses all 3,
which is a strong possibility.
Which is possible. If Carlton loses all 3 and Richmond win 2, then they're in. You'd suspect. I mean, none of us are thinking that St Kilda's going to win the games they've got left against.
They got the hardest draw, haven't they?
Geelong, Brisbane, and Sydney to come. So I can't see them winning too many more of them. So yeah, it's Richmond or Carlton.
So what happened on Sunday? It was a tale with two halves.
It was,
yeah. I mean, greatest comeback of the year, 42 points in 18-minute mark of that second quarter. So, as you said, it looked done and dusted, Macca, but the big forwards got going in the second half. Lynch, Rewalt, really quiet in the first half, well held by Harris Andrews and Darcy Gardner. And then, Shea Bolton was incredible.
Bloke called Bolton, he might be, I think he's already Richmond's most important player. Now, that may be underselling Tom Lynch.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I probably would have Lynch ahead.
Maybe underselling Tom Lynch because he's structurally so important. But I think it's a good thing for Richmond that they're not as reliant on Dustin Martin. Now, they can't be. He's probably, whether he plays next year or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
But, gee, Bolton is the player who can go forward. He's almost untacklable in a lot of ways. Is that a word? I might have made that word up.
He is hard to play on, isn't he? In that role he plays, he's probably the hardest role in the game, the high half forward.
Absolutely.
And he does it really, really well.
He does.
Better than anyone. You see players like Connor Rosey who've shown flashes, but no, let's move Connor Rosey into the midfield because it is hard to get a constant impact. But for some reason, Bolton can do it really well and have such critical moments, and he was just a sublime.
He's just never out of games, is he? Like, he's always keeping himself in the moment in the game.
And he loves the big moment. You can see that he actually loves it, which is interesting. I did the first interview of him when he came over and wearing the number 29. We've got a picture of with Bolts and Kevin Bartlett. He was picked number 29. He wore the 29. And I thought, this kid is so quiet and shy. How's he going to... He has just blossomed, hasn't he, as a player?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of attitude too, which we like. We like. He's.
I'm all for attitude. I think we need more of it. I think
got the little rocket tattoo on his neck there.
Jared Berry didn't like his attitude, but aside from that, everyone else did.
Well, I think that if you're playing against him, I'm not sure the attitude. You'd be getting a little bit edgy about the attitude.
I mean, but he's kicked 35 goals this year now too, which is pretty incredible. And he kicked 2-5 on the weekend.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he should have kicked. Yeah,
he could have easily had a few more.
Clearly, he's important, but Lynch, It's no coincidence that he comes back in and they are a different side. And he did destroy Harris Andrews, who's a great defender.
Which is interesting because it's funny with Harris Andrews because he can have those games, can't he? When he looks absolutely brilliant some minute, the next minute it falls apart. And I don't know whether that's structure or what happens actually out there with that.
On Sunday, it just felt like it was more Lynch than Harris Andrews. Lynch just seems... When he's on a roll, he is unstoppable in terms of when he stretches out, a bit like Max King, he's hard to spoil.
Yeah, and having him back and then Riewoldt and then Cumberland gets the third key defender and then he comes up and kicks five. So.
And boys, let's be honest, it was a 50-metre penalty, wasn't it? Come on, Cumberland. You think it was?
Probably was,
but I'm glad in a way it sense from the pure theatre of it as well. And fair effort from Cumberland to fight back from what he went through. We're seeing it at the moment when there's a lot of pressure on young kids and they can come out and do what he does the next week. He got a really good opportunity and imagine if it had been a 50-metre penalty and he had to cost them 2 weeks in a row. That would have been awkward, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
I spoke to him yesterday for the Rising Star and he just, he said he just didn't know how long was left on the clock in that game against Fremantle. He looked up and it said 25 minutes, but it was a very low-scoring game. It was 52 all at the end. So he thought there was longer than there was.
So did he know how long was left on Sunday?
He knew how long was left on Sunday.
So he'd learn his lesson.
He said he would, he's learning his lesson and he said he'd be more composed next time, those sort of moments.
Well, I just think what you do think is that this kid puts himself in the game and that's why I think it's really important going forward. You needed to see that from Richmond, a few younger players coming through, and we're starting to see it now. So they're not the Richmond of old, but at least they've still got the older players playing their role and the young guys coming through.
So do they beat Port this weekend? Because Port are no...
I think they can. I think they can. I wonder whether Port now, we know that it's over, their season could be, could be an issue. And they know that they're probably playing for next year, really, aren't they? They've got no hope of this year. So I think they can. You're looking very nervous at this stage.
Oh, Kurt. I haven't tipped them. I mean, I think
they... You haven't tipped them?
I think they can, but...
You'll tip Port Adelaide?
I'll tip Port Adelaide, yeah.
Wow. Where are you on the panel?
Not very well.
The man who won, he joined the paper, and I think he won five or six in a row. It was like the Collingwood machine team of...
really dropped off the last couple of...
Well, what do you reckon? Do you think the Tigers can win this week?
Yeah, I think they can purely because of Tom Lynch. Mm. And I just think the matchups with Port's... defensive, I just don't know if they'll be able to handle Lynch.
Now, Moneyball had a little sniff of it late last week about Trent Cotchin and the likelihood of him playing on. And Lauren Wood, a great interview with Trent Cotchin, which followed obviously the game on the weekend, that he wants to play on. Does he deserve the chance to play on, do you think?
If you asked me this question last year, I would have said absolutely not. Yep. But I think this year, given everything that we've discussed about needing to ensure that they don't lose all these experienced players in the 1 year, then he... should play on, and his form warrants that. Kev?
I think my view probably even 2 months ago was a little bit different to what it is now. Yeah, I think he's lifted a little bit in the second half of the year. And he definitely showed enough against Brisbane the other day that he's got the ability to go on one more.
Yeah, I think he's had a pretty good season. If you go look at he's averaging probably 21, 22 disposals. And he's never going to be a high numbers player in a sense now, but I think he gives them that leadership with... Lambert retiring. We don't know what's going to happen with Shane Edwards as well. Possibly going to retire. So I think he should play on.
And he just still cracks in to get that hard ball, doesn't he? And those team lifting moments.
And it's a good point just with the leadership, because there isn't really anyone right now that's trying to take his spot.
Correct.
Like Ross, Thompson, Dow, Collier, Dawkins should be, but they're not yet. Correct. So you give him one more year with those guys, then hopefully this time next year, Cotchin's hanging up the boots and these guys are flourishing.
Absolutely. Kev's hoping there might be another flag mixed in there. Exactly. The Carlton Football Club, I could not believe what I watched on the weekend. They were off big time, 23 broken tackles, an AFL record broken tackles. And it wasn't just the young guys doing it. It was the more experienced players doing it. And they've now put their finals chances in a bit of jeopardy.
Yeah, it was definitely the most surprising result of the weekend, Kev. Mm. You catch much of the game. Where do you think it went wrong?
Yeah, I didn't see much of that game. I was working at the Geelong game, Selwood's 350th. But we were all kind of shocked. You're all engrossed in the game down there, and then you look up at the TV and post-game, and the Carlton game was still going, and you're like, it's incredible. We didn't see that result coming.
And you're the run-home expert. So where does it leave them now? You noticed online you did have them ninth.
Yes.
Is it that much in jeopardy now?
Well, I mean, you just look at their draw. Brisbane at the Gabba.
That's a loss, which you would think. Maybe not. Maybe
50-50, I think.
Maybe 60-40, maybe. Brisbane's way, I reckon. Maybe.
I think the Lions have won 17 in the last
That's
20
the
at the Gabba.
The venue
so,
is the key.
Yeah. And then Melbourne and Collingwood at the G to finish.
That could be the round 23. Collingwood the chance to knock Carlton out of the finals. That would be huge. And there'll be a massive crowd to that.
That'd be huge.
And Collingwood already beat them, obviously, earlier in the year. Yeah. I think they're in a bit of strife. They need to pull one out of the hat there somewhere.
What's a fail for Carlton? Is missing the finals a fail? I think personally it is.
I think it is from 8-2.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I thought 6 weeks ago when they lost Wiedering and they lost a few of those guys all at once that I thought they could miss finals. Then they obviously won a few of those really close. They beat Fremantle and it sort of got through. But it did feel like they have been really hard done by with injuries this year.
They have. And that's something that we shouldn't undersell, that they have lost a lot of key players and that as well. But they built the base that I thought they should be able to. A game on the weekend, I know Adelaide were good, but it's just as good as Adelaide were. The Blues were terrible, really. They never look like it. The Jack Silvani thing interests me. I know everyone's talked about it and the like, and a real heart and soul player, and we've spoken about Michael Voss saying, I want heart and soul players, and then they drop him for that game. He was sore. The word through the week was that he was very sore, and whether that was a little bit, here's a chance to maybe put him on the... But they said omitted, so we've got to take them at their word that he was omitted, and he came in obviously as a sub. Can that play a bit of an impact, do you think, on the mindset of a group? Or
I don't think it will, no. I think, yeah, he was stiff to get dropped. My only thinking was, who else with their mix with Pitnet back? I just didn't know how they actually looked. Who would you have dropped if it wasn't him?
It's a good point, because you can't play too many talls. No. And Collingwood's going to be in this situation as well. How many talls can you actually play? And they needed to get Pitnet back. They had to get him back. Like, it's a situation where you have no choice. Does Silvani go down back? Is there an option for him to go down back? There's a lot of Carlton supporters have got some concerns over Plowman and maybe a couple of others. But maybe that's an area there that they need to look at. Surely he plays this week. I think Michael Voss has already said almost after the game that he would play this week.
Yeah, he didn't guarantee it, but you'd think so. I'm just fascinated
it's a difficult scenario.
Because obviously De Koning and Pitnet, it's just hard
De Koning
to fit
plays,
them all in.
There's no, if he's right, like, he looks a little sore to me, De Koning, and maybe needs... Just but again, how do you rest a bloke who's been so important when you're leading into three must-win games? So, going to be fascinating, boys. I'm going to ask you who's in and who's out after this break. We are being spoilt this week. We've been spoilt for a number of weeks in a row with great matchups. But how about these, boys? How about these for games? This is outstanding. Collingwood and Melbourne, that is an absolute cracker.
Blockbuster.
And everyone says, oh, the Pies can't win. Well, they beat them. And they beat them the last couple
they
of years.
So,
you've got the Western Bulldogs and Fremantle. You've got Richmond and Port Adelaide, as we've spoken about. And you've got Brisbane and Carlton. What a game. It's going to be a fascinating weekend of footy, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot hangs on quite a few of those results, doesn't it, as far as the top eight makeup goes, which is certainly not set at 3 weeks ago.
No. It's been... So we are getting, you know, finals. Everyone talks about the wild card finals, which I'm totally opposed to. We've had a two-month wild card finals, haven't we, in a lot of ways?
Well, if you look at the run homes each week, they're just getting flipped on their head with upsets and then
imagine
form changing.
Imagine having to do what Cav has to do. It would be...
Does the criticism come for that, Cav? Like, you've had Richmond one week losing. Like, does it come?
Well, yeah, it's not an easy job doing it every week. And one result can change things. You can tip 8 out of 9 and one result changes things so much, you know.
And form changes week to week. Like, look at Carlton, win-loss, win-loss, win-loss.
And now Melbourne's back up.
Melbourne back.
And Richmond, you know, beats Brisbane and they're back in.
What's this time of the year, Cav? We have to put extra security on downstairs because the pickets come out here. When you have a crack at Collingwood or when you have a...
It's probably Carlton this week.
Now it's Carlton, exactly. So with that, we talked about the Carlton game before. Collingwood-Melbourne, do you give the Pies any chance? And what's a pass for Collingwood? I would have thought originally making finals is a pass. Now it's probably winning a final, I reckon, isn't it?
Yeah, I still think they've passed in my mind, and I still think they're going to lose the next three games, like I said last week. And I know it caused a bit of friction last week. I did was on the end of criticism myself, but I've got to back in that theory that, yes, they're winning and they're playing really well, but I just think the next three opponents can all beat them. In saying that, They were very impressive at Queen's Birthday. Mm. The blueprint is there for them to beat Melbourne, but I still don't think they will.
Momentum's a powerful thing, and they've won 10 in a row already. Yeah. So,
well, I think belief is as well, too, isn't it? There's just that belief. Like, it was almost a script on the weekend that we knew was going to happen in a strange roundabout sort of way. Was, you know, and poor Collingwood supporters, they'd be going in for their annual heart check very soon, wouldn't they? It's been no team in history has won as many games. I think it's 9 by 12 points 12 or fewer. Points, yeah. It's just incredible, hasn't it?
Now, do we see Grundy v. Gawn on Friday night?
I think he has to play, doesn't he? If he's right to play, he has to play. What I would say about Grundy, and I think I may even mention this the other week, I'm a little bit concerned with all these people saying, oh, Collingwood doesn't need Grundy. We saw a couple of weeks ago when they really struggled, in the ruck, and Cameron had an off day and Cox wasn't as good. I think Grundy is the best option there in the sense that, and I know people will say Cameron is, he's had a really good run, but I'd be loath to trade Grundy unless it was the absolute killer deal. Likewise with DeGoey, I as a Collingwood supporter, and I posed this question in the tackle on the weekend, do Collingwood supporters look at DeGoey's performance last week and think, I'm really nervous about not trying to keep this bloke? What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about a good deal for Grundy. I mean, if he was to leave, you're probably going to pay part of his salary.
That's the thing.
So why would you get rid of him on that?
It's the deal as well.
Exactly. Why would you get rid of him on that basis?
Yeah. And what about DeGoey? Do you think the Pies should step up? I think there's a feeling in the footy world that that DeGoey is likely to leave, whether it be St Kilda or whether it be Geelong. Mm. Would you be a little nervous if you're Collingwood?
You'd be pretty keen to keep him. Yeah, he's a match winner and you'd want him.
It is incredible, isn't it? So what about you, Will? Do you think that...
Yeah, I think DeGoey's gone.
Yeah, I think he's a chance to go. I think.
And if I'm a Collingwood fan, I just hope I get a good deal with him and I'd just move on, I reckon.
Yeah, well, hopefully you get a good free agency sort of side thing there as well. But again, if they're doing a deal with Dan McStay, it sort of cancels.
Well, that's the risk too.
That's the risk that it cancels out. We talked about Grundy. There's no doubt that Collingwood have been shopping Grundy around. There's absolutely, we all know that that's the case. It's just a question of whether you follow through on the deal. But I think him and Max Gawn would be a good head-to-head this week,
It's a perfect time for Grundy to show that he is worth staying.
Absolutely. And I think he would want to stay.
Yeah.
I think he enjoys the fabric of the footy club. Just on Melbourne, on Melbourne, Luke Jackson, I thought it was a real mature conversation from Simon Goodwin on the weekend when he actually said, we're going to make do with what we've got when we've got him here. He didn't say he's gone, but I think most people think he's gone.
Except for Max Gawn.
For Max Gawn. Of course he's going to say that, Max, isn't he?
What else can he say? But it was bizarre comments to come out that strongly, I think.
Yeah.
Off the company line, which Richardson and Goodwin have been saying, just going to let him do his thing and go on. No, he's staying. He was the happiest man in the world.
Yeah, are we getting to that stage, though, Cav, that we are getting more mature? I don't want to get to an NRL stage. Let's not get to players nominating clubs. And we know that players are going to leave at the end of the year, but we don't shout it from the rooftops or anything like that. No one confirms anything. I like that, but I think we are getting more mature.
Yeah, I think we are, And I think, as you say, I think we kind of know where quite a few players are already going to end up in come October. So,
at least we're going to have an interesting October anyway.
Yeah, hopefully. Absolutely. There's going to be a bit more happening than last year, which is good. Yeah.
Speaking of mature and players sort of leaving, Mark McVay.
Yes.
I would say he wasn't immature, but he was pertinent in his comments that players had checked out. Now, albeit of the game and not the season.
Yeah.
But it was obviously hard not to read between the lines and the players that he didn't mention, two of them, Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto.
Yeah.
Clearly that looks like they're leaving. But what did you both make of McVay?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, I think from all you hear that he said that to the players beforehand as well. So if he's done that and then gone public with it, I don't really see a problem with it.
I liked it, Cav.
Yeah. I mean, they have lost their last four games by more than 6 goals. There'd been a couple of ugly ones in there. So their season has tailed off badly.
Have you seen anything like that before in a public press conference?
Not many caretaker coaches do it. Yeah. And that's why I actually liked it.
It was great.
And if you know Mark McVay, he pulls no punches.
Oh, yeah.
The way he plays is the way he is as a person, the way he used to play.
Spike.
He had a massive crack. And I really liked the fact that I thought it was quite endearing. I looked at it and I went, he's the sort of bloke I would like in regard to that, because you've got to spray blokes when they're not performing to the level. So we talk, you know, Ralphie's talked about the salary cap reset. Let's just call it for what it is. They screwed up and they've paid too much money to certain players, and it's made the list lopsided. Not unlike Collingwood a few years ago, or not unlike Collingwood, but you know, and that's why they need to recalibrate their structure of their, and that's why to lose a few players. But they're going to have to go back a bit. Is it an attractive job, do you think, Will?
The GWS job? I still think it is. I know the conversations around they've got so much money tied up in certain amount of players, but I think a lot of clubs do have that. And I think if you could somehow come in and talk to the likes of Nick Haynes, Lockie Whitfield, Cornelio, Kelly, do some form of a renegotiation of deals, show them the hope, you can get your club back on track. If you look at Collingwood, and there was a lot of criticism of them at the time with their sort of fire sale, it's panned out well. So
It hasn't hurt really hasn't as much hurt. As anyone thought. Other than I think a bit of goodwill. I think that's the thing that for me, I thought they handled the Treloar situation pretty poorly.
Yes.
But really the trading of the players hasn't hurt them, has it?
No. And with GWS, I mean, they've currently got pick four.
Mm.
And if Taranto and Hopper do leave, I mean, they're top 10, first rounders, if not top 10 picks that GWS would expect in exchange for those players. So, I mean, they could end up with three pretty high draft
picks. What are we hearing of the draft this year? Like, we always talk about the next draft that's going to be the super draft. Often doesn't pan out that way. Mind you, I think last year's draft's looking pretty bloody good right now. Kev, what do you think about this year's draft in terms of if you had, say you had three picks inside the top 20 and a couple of really high ones, is that going to get you a few generational players, do you think?
Yeah, the top end's definitely pretty strong. There's not as many tools in this draft. There's probably a couple up. Aaron Cadman's one. There's probably a couple of tools up the top end, but mostly it's midfielders draft. But there is some good talent there.
You'd think the Giants would then target maybe a Cadman as well
if
there is the midfielders around them, if they do have those sort of three inside the 20.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the Giants want some key positions, I think, and probably another developing ruck as well. So, yeah, they could definitely find a bit of that.
Well, I think this would be good for the Giants that they do. Really, you have to go back a little bit sometimes to go forwards, and I think that not every club can sort of turn it around on the run, and I think it's probably not a bad thing if they do that.
I do think they're in free fall at the moment, though, and they do need a line in the sand somewhere. They need to either announce
Do you reckon they've got to get with the program, get faster?
I think
because they're talking about a long process.
Yeah.
I think North is keen to have a shorter process.
Yeah, and I understand that the likes of Adam Kingsley and Adam Uzo, who are candidates for this role, will still be in premiership contention for their respective clubs, but it does feel like the more they go on without a coach, losing the way they are, and the disharmony, it could just do a lot of long-term damage.
Yeah, it's good to have a bit of an access there, a bit, isn't it? Just a bit of structure there as well, and that's not a slight on Mark McVay. He's doing everything humanly possible.
Exactly. Do you think they get a response from this?
I hope so. If you're a fair income and you're a footballer and you're earning big money and you've taken big money and you're playing the way that like some of those guys are playing, you want to see the response.
Could see a fired up Hopper and Taranto.
Well, there you go. You would like to see that, even though they might not be there next year. So. Boys, we talked about the Richmond-Port Adelaide game, and Cav shocked me by saying he's going to tip Port Adelaide. Just on those other couple of games, give me a Collingwood-Melbourne. You're both going to say Melbourne, aren't you?
Melbourne.
Cav, that pause was interesting.
No, Melbourne.
I probably will too. Bulldogs and Fremantle is an interesting one. That is a really interesting one. I'm not sure what to make of the Bulldogs. At their best, they are a really good team, but they were hit by a third quarter avalanche like I don't think we've seen this year. That Geelong performance over 30 minutes was as scary as anything I've seen this year.
They couldn't do anything to stop that. No. It was 13 goals to 2 in the middle of that. In the middle part of that game. And Geelong was just waltzing out of centre bounce, kicking it straight down to their forwards. I mean, the Bulldogs defenders stood no chance, really. So, yeah, it was quite poor from the Doggies. But at the same time, Fremantle hasn't been great the last few weeks either because and their scoring's dried up. They're not kicking anywhere near as many goals as they were earlier in the year. So they got some issues as well.
Yeah,
genuine 50-50 that game for me. I have zero idea who's going to win.
No, I think the Dogs win.
You do. Okay, Brisbane-Carlton, that's not a 50-50. You don't think we've spoken before. It's probably the venue, probably. But, gee, you'd want to see something from Carlton, wouldn't you? So I would have thought you'd want to see something pretty good from Carlton.
Yeah, I think George Hewitt's just so important for them, and he's still out. I don't know, Macca, is he a chance to play this week?
I'm not sure. I haven't done my predicted. I don't think we're going to do it. We're
just going to save them for finals.
Save them for the big events and that as well. I'm not sure. But just in the last game, now no one's going to be interested in this game, but a bloke who's caused me a lack of sleep as a Collingwood supporter over the journey, Josh Kennedy, will play his last game against the Adelaide Crows. So it'll be good to see. He's had a fantastic career. We know that he was traded there. I just think of what he would have done at Carlton if they had been able to keep him. Quite amazing, isn't it? But we'll be back after this break because I've got a couple of really crucial questions to ask both of you guys. Back in a moment. Kicking goals is going to be the difference between teams winning a flag and not winning a flag. We've seen that with a few clubs already. Some clubs, you know, shaking their boots when they're having a shot at goal. Bombers, Saints fans do it all the time.
Brisbane, Mitch Robinson.
Richmond's missed
boys,
a lot.
I want to know, who would you have to kick for your life? Somebody has got to take the kick. Mm. I'm not going to say you're going to. I know this is a hard call, kick for your life. We mean it in a fun sort of way. But who would you stake your whole life on kicking a goal?
Yeah, I was just having a little bit of a think about it before.
It's a tough one.
I reckon Todd Marshall's been an absolute dead-eye this year.
And it wasn't always the case.
No.
But he's turned it around.
But he's kicking actions very nice this year, and he's just an absolute straight shooter.
That's a good one. I like that. I hadn't thought of him. But
I've always been quite niche, Macca.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with Errol Goulden.
Yes.
And I just really like the way he kicks. I think he's the best kick in the comp.
Yeah, he's
and,
a great
and just
kid.
Put him in front of the sticks, and I
he's
think
got
he'll
the,
kick it.
One of the best Christian names in the comp.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Got to say,
Errol,
one of the
fantastic,
names
and I reckon he'd give a good, nice little celebration.
Yeah,
to him
I think that's part of the flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what about yourself,
boys? I had a big thing about it. Like historically, I don't remember Peter Hudson. He was a little only towards the tail end, but he's apparently the greatest kick for goal ever. I reckon Plugger was as good a kick for goal as you would ever see. Of the current stock, you know who I really like? I'm trying to go a little niche too.
Yep.
Luke Bruce.
Like it.
Yep.
Does not miss.
Yep. Very
he is an unbelievably good kick for goal. Doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I reckon he's been a really good player over the journey. Absolute champion. We're putting our life at risk again here. We're talking about the player who you would want to play for your life. The one that you know will give everything for you, Cav. Who have you got jotted down?
Having been down at the Cattery for Joel Selwood's game last week, I think, I mean, I know he's slowed up a little bit, but he just goes hard at every contest. I mean, you can just trust him to, give his all every game. And even at training, I mean, he gets, you know, cut heads at training too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I don't think anyone's used as much tape. I think Champion Data, if you looked it up, the most tape ever used on a player. I think Ben McAvoy would be up there as well. I reckon
close.
Big Boy's always got his. But I reckon Joel has had so many around his face and all over his body.
The Band-Aid brand has just missed the trick with him.
Yes.
Haven't they? Surely they've got to get him on for
absolutely.
A private
sponsorship. Will, what's your feeling there?
Well, Cav's...
he's stolen the thunder.
Well, he's coming... It's clever by him.
He's gone first.
He knew. So I'll... On the run, and this is player's been in the
news. If you steal mine here, I won't be.
Well, maybe, I don't know. But this player's been in the news this week.
Oh, no.
He's played for 19 seasons.
Oh, no.
He's retiring this year. David Mundy.
David Mundy. We mentioned Josh Kennedy before, but David Mundy, what a great player he's been.
Have you ever seen a player that's more durable, more consistent, has kicked goals in the winning moments, is tough, is skillful.
Yeah.
He's
perhaps underrated. Like, if he was a Melbourne player, like from Melbourne-based club, like I'm not having a crack at WA, but we over here, we probably don't rate him as well as we should. And you know what? We should. He's been unbelievable to retire on a Monday too. Yes, his retirement. He set that up beautifully. And go back to that grand final. I think I gave one vote to D Mundy in the Norm Smith medal
vote. This is the famous Norm Smith story where you'll never do it again.
I'll never ever do it again, but I reckon I gave one to David.
Was that why you couldn't sleep? Because you gave it to David Mundy?
Yeah, maybe. maybe that was the difference. So, boys, you know who I'm going to go? Maybe I got sucked in. It happened last Friday night, but the way Jack Viney attacked the footy last week, like his old man was ferocious, but this guy is a machine and they needed him early. And he, you know, I'm not having to go with Joel Selwood. I'm a massive Joel Selwood fan, but just I had to go something different from the Cavanator. I think Jack Viney's just unbelievable the way he plays.
He's a bit of a young Joel Selwood, isn't he?
He is.
And you'd pick those three players. If you had them in your side on Grant, you just know what you're going to get with those three, aren't you?
Yep. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to steal everyone's thunder. I'm going to say the one uncontracted player I'd be hunting down right now.
Who
can
is
I just
it,
say? Cam Zerha.
Yep.
I would be going after Cam Zerha. Now, hopefully he stays at the Kangaroos because I really love the Kangaroos and I want to see them back on the right pathway. And I think he is such an important player. But he has put contract talks on hold to the end of the year. Now, I think also, you look at the Kangaroos, I think a few of the Kangaroos, not only just from their point of view, but from the club's point of view, they're sort of waiting to see what's going to happen with the new coach. So
if you're a club, what would you pay him?
Lots.
And what would you pay for him?
What do you want, Cam? We will come to an agreement. What would you give up for him?
Yes.
You'd be prepared to give up some significant cachet in terms of money and first-round draft pick at least.
Yep.
Yeah, we would have to. It might have to be a little bit more as well. Be throwing in a player or whatever, you could do that. But I think he's an outstanding player. He's kicked, I'm not sure how many goals he's kicked this year, but he's missed a few games as well. But when he is at his best, they are a really good side.
Yeah, yeah.
Cav? Absolutely.
Cav?
Probably Bailey Smith, Bulldogs.
Mm.
I think he's a good one. Not only got the marketability, but also a very good player out on the wing, just runs all day, racks up possessions and can be quite damaging.
Makes a difference too when he's playing well. You could see that early last week. What do you reckon, Will?
I've gone again niche.
Niche?
After reading the Moneyball on Friday.
Oh, yes.
One that really stuck
Trent
out to Cotchin. Me.
No. Out of contract.
Oscar Baker.
Oscar Baker, so yes.
He's running around the VFL.
So you get him at a reasonably good price.
You get him a bargain price.
This is Moneyball.
This is
like
the genuine definition
of
Moneyball.
Genuine definition.
You get him a
Please
bargain
don't write in.
No, sorry. I'll send those emails. I just think he's 24. He needs to move on.
Yep.
Otherwise, his career is fading fast. And I think he's got the ability to play midfield, to be a small forward, pressure forward, or just play a role somewhere.
Yep.
So if I'm a club that's looking for a depth of a premiership side that's been top two the last 2 years, then he's the one I'm looking at.
No, that's a good point. Boys, you've been outstanding again. It's going to be a great weekend of footy coming up. There's plenty of trade talk going on. Don't miss Moneyball. Don't miss the Cavs on tackle duty this week, so don't miss Cav with
Can't
a tackle.
Wait. And he's run home on Monday to
and
see.
And he's run home on Monday.
He'll have Carlton fourth when they beat Brisbane.
To see which picket line that comes out the front as well. Boys, you've been outstanding. Have a good week. And for all your news and views, go to heraldsun.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. Through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.